this before.
No.
And we're live. Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Camera Life podcast, brought to you by Lucky Straps. I'm talking very quietly because I don't know if there's anyone actually listening.
Honestly,
is there anyone out there? Oh, well, Jim's here. Hey, Jim. How are you, mate?
How are you doing? Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Yeah. It's been busy week last week, busy day today. So, you know, days are flying. Mm-hmm. And it's already, what is it? It's the 24th of March.
It's Monday, yeah.
24th. I remember complaining how slow January was, and all of a sudden March is over.
Really?
It's crazy.
No. It's been a fast start of the year.
Yeah, it has. But anyway, this is the Camera Life. This is the Random Photography Show, and being the Random Photography Show, we don't have a guest. We don't even have Justin. In fact, I feel lucky that Jim even showed up. We've all got responsibilities. Justin's actually on a gig. He's working. Yeah, with his cameras.
He's working for once, isn't he?
I know, for once. He's not just running around like a goose.
He'll probably be in the comments soon.
Yeah, he probably will. Yeah. He can't help himself. But yeah, he's away. He's actually in Bright, so he's doing a gig up there for mountain bike shoot, is it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Not Beepop.
No, Beepop.
No one missed it.
No, because he would have left us behind if it was.
Yeah.
But let's jump to some quick comments to say g'day to everyone that's joining us so far. So, Paul, good evening, gentlemen. Nice to be able to catch you live. G'day, Paul. It's just me and Jim today, but, you know, in many ways that's better. Bruce, hey, Bruce, evening, folks. G'day, mate.
How you doing?
Philip Johnson, evening all. G'day, Philip. And Paul said, I have to pretend to work on Thursday mornings. Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah.
Even while we're doing the podcast, we're just pretending to be busy and important and knowledgeable. Yeah. But look, this is the Camera Life podcast. Don't forget that we come to you every Monday night. We have this Random Photography Show where we just talk about whatever. Every Thursday, we have a guest join us. Last Thursday, I was away ill, so I'm sorry that I missed you guys. But we were joined by Glyn Lavender, who I met for the first time at BFOP. Did I meet him at BFOP? I'm pretty sure it was BFOP. Anyway, whatever. Glyn was on the show. Were you on that Thursday morning?
I was, yeah.
It's good. How was that?
It was good. Great to talk to Glyn. Very, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome to hear his story, a little bit of his story. And for a guy that doesn't like photography, he loves photography. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So we have good to work through that and then hear his story.
Yeah. I remember prepping for the show and looking through his catalogue of work, just phenomenal. Some of his like just environmental portraits and his sort of photojournalistic style, especially the stuff in India, just magical. Some of it, all of it, really.
Yeah, it was cool hearing how he spoke about backgrounds and what he included in the image and how he thought about it and processed it. And often just how he, if it didn't add anything to the story, it wasn't there, you didn't know. So everything was very thoughtful. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Very cool. One last comment. Glenn, I think Bruce means, he did correct himself in the next comment. Glenn was at BFOP. He was at BFOP, but I'm pretty sure I said g'day. But yeah, that's it. That's where we're at. Now, I must apologize. I know that I'm in a very dark bat cave-like room. I don't have any tubular lighting like my mate over here, Jim. But also, we're in the middle of Hard Rubbish Week. And for those of you that don't live in Australia who may be watching along, Hard Rubbish Week is when you take all the crap in your house that's too big to put in the bins and you dump it on the street and in the next couple of days, the council's going to come along and clean up.
Or all the people that come in between.
Yeah. The altruistic people.
We don't get that up here.
You don't get hard rubbish?
No.
Do you have a tip, though?
Yeah, we got a tip.
Oh, we don't have a tip in South Yarra.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no space for a tip. No, we don't. And we used
too many
to.
Coffee
we don't
shops.
Yeah, far too many coffee shops and nail saloons. But anyway, the house is a mess because there's just stuff everywhere. You know, there's seven of us. There's a lot of stuff. Anyway, I digress. So, also, Jim,
sorry, I was going to say, if anyone's got any questions, that's what we're here for tonight. We don't have a lot to say. So if anyone's got any questions about photography or anything, let us know.
Or if you want the dirt on Justin, then just let us know.
Yeah.
Because Jim's got plenty. I don't know anything.
There's no dirt.
No, there's no dirt. He's an all-round good bloke. Heart of gold. All right, let's jump to a topic that I've been thinking about, and it's about motivation. So as a hobbyist photographer, I can freely afford to fall into photography funks. I prefer not to, and I try not to. But every now and then I get into a funk where I don't, I don't feel motivated. I don't want to take my camera out. I don't want to do the shot. But obviously when you're a pro photographer or a working photographer, you don't have that luxury. Not that it's a luxury, but you don't have necessarily that that kind of, what would you call it, like a buffer to just go, oh, I can't be fucked today.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask.
You can't put it off, then, I suppose.
Yeah. So, Jim, you know, you're a working professional photographer. You and Justin ran, or still run, you still run it, but Justin and Jim's wedding photography business. And you're also running your own boudoir photography gig now, which is amazing. How do you find the motivation when it comes to getting up in the morning, knowing that you've got a shoot, or even if you don't have a shoot, how do you make the most of your time?
I think for shooting, I never lack motivation to shoot. Sometimes I maybe don't want to go, but as once I'm there, I'm just working, I'm shooting. I never midway through a shoot, I don't think, and wishing I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm always, I guess, enjoying that aspect of it. Definitely editing and stuff can get tiresome at times. But, yeah, the shooting side of it, I don't know. I don't often lack motivation for that unless it's a really boring shoot. But even that, I only struggle before the shoot, I think.
So once you're into it, it's...
Yeah, once I'm into it. Sorry, I've just realized there's a microphone over there.
Oh, that's okay. I can still hear you. So is it a case of, you know, once you're there, regardless of what getting there felt like, you've got the camera in your hand, then, you know, you're on the job. You're on the tools.
Yeah. And then you're suddenly, like, your brain's just in work mode, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's...
What about creative shooting? I'm not saying that your work is not creative, because it is, but when you just want to, you know, like when I came to Bendigo and... we got up early in the morning and we went out for a shoot and we're all a bit tired and grizzly. You know, is there motivation there to do that sort of thing in your free time?
Not as much. That's probably where I struggle for motivation is outside of work. I sort of don't often pick up the camera to shoot for myself. But when I do, I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't often, I guess, enjoy it.
And for me as a writer, so when I write, I have to read a lot because I just do. That's just the nature of what I do. I have to read what I'm writing. I have to read research. I have to read my finished pieces. I can't pick up a book. Just like I used to love reading science fiction, and I no longer find myself able to pick up a book and just get into it because that part of my brain is over. I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
You know, do you think it's a similar kind of thing where work is just, well, I've done it now. I've used up that portion of my brain.
Yeah.
I don't feel like going out.
Yes. Yeah. And even when I say have taken photos on holiday or something like that, it might take me a month or two to come back and cull and edit them. And I guess the editing is, you know, usually for a family holiday, something quite easy and light.
Yeah.
But it's just not highly motivating. Maybe in the same way if you feel.
Yeah, I don't feel the need. Like, and I love reading, and I often see books, you know, in the shop, and new authors or acclaimed authors have sort of risen. I think, oh, that'd be a great story to start. And then I look at it and go, oh, there's 7 books in the series. Nah, I can't be bothered. Whereas in the past, that would have excited me nowhere, knowing that there were 7 books to read. Yeah,
there's somewhere to go after the first one. That's...
Yeah, but I don't feel that. And so, and when I'm in a photography funk, I still do my work. I just don't feel like going out and doing street or, you know, catching up with a mate to just walk around the city with a camera and grab a coffee. And I don't feel like doing any of that. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Oh, here's the boss, everybody. Hang on, we better add him on.
Okay, I just got to do 5 minutes on the podcast. Oh, Mick, you're live on a podcast.
Hi, guys.
It's
Mick.
Hey, Mick.
Hey.
Flo Mountain Bike. He's my boss.
I'd love to be able to share more insights, but I prefer the Sony cameras because they make great TVs.
Mick's a Sony shooter.
Oh.
Today he said, oh, you shoot Canon. I said, yeah, they don't make TVs.
No. No, they probably don't.
I said, but they do make fax machines, so I don't know if that's...
They do. And copiers, very good copiers. Hey, how are you going?
Yeah, good. We've had a very busy afternoon. We're all disheveled. Yeah. He's off, mm-hmm. Mick's off to the brewery. He's like, I got to work in the brewery.
You look like you've already been to the brewery.
You do look there. A bit brewerish.
Heavy bike upstairs. Wow. This is all the things that you do when you're reviewing bikes. Look at that guy.
Yeah.
And is he going to ride it down the stairs? Is that the plan?
Yeah, the next shot we're doing is down the stairs.
We have to after a few cans.
Into the Subaru.
That's right.
Why don't you set up a pyramid with all the cans you've already drunk, and then
that is untrue. We literally just finished shooting. It's still almost like
what's in your hand, Justin? What's in your hand? Show us. Yeah, there's a beer.
One.
I'm stirring you up.
I've hard earned thirst needs a big cold beer.
How's your shoot been?
Yeah, told me when I was a kid.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
They did tell you that.
What have you guys been doing? What's happening?
We just got started. Talking about motivation.
Motivation, yeah. What motivates you, Justin, as a photographer, to get up and shoot mountain bikes?
Like professional gigs?
Mountain bike stuff? The thing that motivates me is every time, even though it's kind of the same, every time it's different. We're in a different spot. The light's different. It's a different problem to solve. Also, it's actually really motivating when you're shooting people like Will.
Hey,
Will.
Hey, Will.
This is Will.
Yo.
Hey, mate.
What's going on?
You're live. You're live to the world. It's like the Truman Show, just for you.
Will's been on YouTube a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't Will's just a few YouTube videos.
Oh, thanks for having me on. What a pleasure.
Yeah. So what do you think, Will, of the new GFX camera? What are your thoughts on it? Because that's what we're here to discuss.
Yeah, huge upgrade. Huge upgrade. Yeah. Like, if you've got the GX5, then, like, I mean, you didn't even know what you're missing out on. Like, they're always better, aren't they?
Light years ahead.
Will, what camera do you shoot on?
What do I shoot on? I don't even know what A7 it is.
I think it's either an A7 2 or 3.
I feel like it's a 3, maybe.
Yeah, it might be a 3. And Will creates content with that for a YouTube channel with how many subscribers?
I don't know how many there are. I feel like it's like 80 or 90 or something like that now.
And shoots photos that...
80 or 90?
Thousand
or just... Oh, okay. Can we come on your show?
Yeah, no. That's funny. Greg had to clarify because the house is like 80 or 90 people.
No, it's almost 1,000. We're almost there, surely.
We're getting close to 1,000.
Flow Mountain Bikes, 80,000.
Yeah, I think Flow's been around for a while, though. Like, they've been doing the thing for a while, so...
Nice. Yeah, but it's done. The point more so was that your gear, while it's not the cutting edge of Sony gear, and you're happy with it and you use it.
And it works for me. And I think like anything, right, it's about the content. So, and I think you can, like I do a lot with GoPros, you know, like you can do a lot with those as well, even like self-shooting sometimes. So
photos.
GoPro photos as well as video. Yep. So, I don't know, giving yourself the best chance of success, like choosing the right light, choosing a nice trail, and then the equipment for me necessarily isn't like as high up on the priority list, but if you give yourself the right conditions, like you can get some really good stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we've definitely trialed some photography at the wrong time and it hasn't worked. It
doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, exactly. You know, like time of day and we go, no, we've got to go back to the rules is like mornings and afternoons.
It doesn't matter how good your equipment is. Like, if it's the conditions aren't good,
good light works.
Why fight nature?
Yeah.
Work with it.
Before I go, I'm just going to show you our balcony because it's kind of crazy.
So where are you at the moment, Justin, for the people at home?
We're in Bright.
Oh, you're at the Beef Up pre-party.
Yeah, I'm just scoping things out for the Bright Festival of Photography. No, we're out here shooting a secret bike that I can't talk about. It's in there behind me. And
is that the one that Will carried up the stairs before?
It is the one Will carried up the stairs. Please don't tell anyone. But like, look at our balcony. That's the brewery there.
That's dangerous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're right across the road. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So you're heading to the brewery for the night, Justin?
There's already a team over there. We're team two. There's team one already at the brewery.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Shooting some brewery content. Luckily, I don't need to shoot anything.
That's good. Yeah, that stuff's never that fun to shoot.
It's work.
Bike's on charge.
Mm. What bike's on charge? We can't say.
Yeah. What bike?
I almost turned the camera around on it. Oh, no. All of our viewers will know.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'll let you guys go back to talking about motivation and things soon, but I'll just let you know it was a rough evening. Not afternoon, evening. The R3 almost overheated. Like it was hot out on the trails. Hot and dusty.
Did it give you like a hot card message or anything?
Yeah, I was getting flashing messages and stuff that maybe I cooked through a full battery on the R3, which is a lot because the R3's got the bigger batteries.
Yeah.
Were
you shooting hybrid photo video?
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. Yeah. The photos, no problem. Any camera could do the photos. Any modern camera could do the photos. It's when you switch back and forth from photo to video and the video in 4K in higher frame rates just chews the battery and it also chews. It cooks the camera, makes it really hot, really fast. So
yeah,
it was, I don't know. It wasn't even that hot. It was probably only 29 or something here, but just being out in the sun, there's no shade because they've logged that section of the trails because it's a pine plantation. So it was just full open sun on a hill.
Yeah.
You remember seeing those sections of the hills?
When we drove in, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So I was up on there.
Oh, fair enough. That's really exposed. Just quickly, Philip Johnson's just said, Justin getting in line for BFOP tickets early.
Yeah, I'm heading over there right now.
Yeah.
We're basically above the Alpine Light Gallery. I might go and see if Matt's got any nice pictures in the window.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Bang on the door, wake them up. Don't they live above the gallery? Or maybe I've got that wrong.
I don't know. Maybe. Don't know.
Maybe they're next door.
They could be. They could be in here. all right, I'll let you guys go back to doing an actual podcast.
Thanks. Yeah, okay, that's all right.
Have fun.
All right, enjoy Bright.
Yeah, we will. We will. Yeah. You guys enjoy the podcast. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, and
I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we've given away a bunch of straps already, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
Yep, it was Jim's idea. All right, we'll catch you later.
Okay, goodbye.
See you, buddy. Bye. There you go. Guest star appearance, watching. I guess. He's always watching, isn't he?
Always watching.
There's no shenanigans on this show. There's no getting away with anything.
No.
What are we talking about? Motivation. So for anyone listening, whether it be now or later, and we can get to your comments next week, have you dealt with this sort of issue with motivation around pro work? Like, have you found it hard to get into a job or that you're burnt out maybe? How do you keep yourself going back to the next job if you're burnt out? What's your advice for other people? Let us know in the comments because I think, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people go through in some form or another. Like, you know, we've already discussed the discrepancies or the differences between Jim and I, very different people, very different approach to photography. But, you know, we both face different challenges in our work. So it'd be interesting to hear what other people have to say. So let us know in the comments. Should we look at some images?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just to screw over the audio podcast people.
I just have 5 minutes of quiet time.
Yeah, everybody, just now's if you want to go and make a coffee, if you're an audio podcast listener, now's the time. Let's jump on Jim's images first. You want to just talk us through what this collection is from? Jim, that you sent through
from a wedding I shot a couple of weeks ago.
You okay for me to show it like this?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Glenn and Nathan's wedding.
Yes. Yeah. So it was a pretty warm day. Supposed to be sort of just over 30, but We're in Macedon, so it ended up being a little bit cooler, so it wasn't overly hot. Some of the shots we did pre-ceremony, so this is like sort of one of the first shots we did in there. So it was just kind of figuring out the light and the location, and just that the time of day wasn't perfect, but made it kind of work. And also they were pre-ceremony. It was a lot less relaxed. After the ceremony was, you'll probably be even better at telling the images.
They were less relaxed?
Or you were before the ceremony, yes.
Yeah. They were pretty stressed.
Yeah, and just, you know, because we were working towards a time, we sort of we had constraints. Whereas post ceremony, heaps more chill.
So what was this sort of around midday? It's pretty bright.
No, I think it
was a bit later.
What was that? It was just after four, so it was like reasonably late.
There we go.
But it wasn't which is probably the time I would normally be shooting, you know, if a normal wedding around that time. It was a late ceremony, like it was a 5 o'clock ceremony, so
yep.
But yeah, you can
let me go to the next one. Come on, computer. So are you using any lighting here to
with available light. So just, with that, shooting into the sun with it, using, the light that's behind me to fill them. And putting them as close out of the shadow of the tree as possible. But still, like I've put them in a little dapple of light so that they have a little bit of backlight on them.
Yeah. You can see that. And you can also see that there's this fine line here of light coming off their foreheads just to separate that a bit.
Mm. So this is just a ceremony. They're actually that the celebrant there on the left, he's actually not a celebrant. They got married a week ago at the registrar. So he was just
a family.
This is just sort of family and friends. And it kind of did a bit of a semi-serious, semi-funny sort of ceremony. So,
yep.
His book, you probably can't see it there, but it actually says Celebrant for Dummies.
Was that a real book or did he make that up?
No, he made that, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Good on him. Here's sort of the same shot but step back.
Yeah, so again, I shoot most of my first kisses with two cameras. So the first shot is with the 105.
This 1. Is the 105? Yep.
Yep. And then the second shot is with the 28. So I usually pre-focus the 28, sort of half align it and hold it against my main camera and then use my left-hand index finger to trigger. So sort of hold under the lens and, use my left-hand index finger to trigger the camera and just sort of hope for the best. So.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, it's...
And they're such big cameras. You must have big hands.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's.
But I can't imagine. Yeah, no. I mean, I shoot with my
thumb and finger there, so the camera sort of sits there.
Yeah.
And sort of.
Yeah, like I guess that makes sense.
Camera rests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I often shoot with my thumb because I'll hold the camera like that,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just be walking along, and I'll lift it, and then just use my thumb to trigger it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that until the other day when Justin and I were at that wedding, and the lady was using her camera in portrait mode and using her thumb. Mm. And I've never seen that done before.
Yeah. Actually, I went on a street walk last week and I noticed the guy I was walking with was doing it too, because we often hold our cameras lower and we're just shooting off the screen flipped up a bit.
Yeah.
Just a quick comment in the chat. So Justin wants to know, beautiful black and white preset. Who made it? Yeah, we all know who made it, Justin. Seriously. When did he make that? Like a decade ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago. We've been running sort of similar presets. It gets adjusted every now and then.
Does that have to go through his committee first before you can?
No.
You just do it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's just the rebel in you going, oh, fuck him. Yeah. I'm going to change it.
I think maybe I tweaked this one off his one also.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, this is for a Nikon.
Yeah. And isn't imitation the greatest form of flattery, isn't what they say?
Yeah.
Apparently.
So this is post ceremony, so much more relaxed.
Yeah.
a little easier.
Yep.
To shoot. So.
Well, you've really mastered the backlighting. The backlighting really scares me when I have the sun facing the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I really struggle with. And yep. I've noticed both you and Justin, you shoot that way a lot.
Yeah. Well, for us, it was always, it's safer because you always knew that the light would be consistent on the couple and it reduced the shadows on their faces.
Yeah.
So we would sort of shoot into the light so that the, you know, the bride didn't have a harsh shadow on their face or something like that.
Yeah.
And especially because we often worked in bad conditions. You know, like I guess bad conditions in the sense of the wrong time of day.
Yeah.
You know, it might be 3 o'clock in peak summer and we're in a chukka and there's just, if you try and shoot with the sun, it's just going to look terrible. So we always sort of shot against the sun.
Yep.
And sort of didn't always, a lot of people would just shoot in the shade. That was their kind of go-to.
Yeah.
I
don't like that. Yeah. I think it's much nicer to, And you know, it generates this high key background, which really helps to make the foreground or your couple pop.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that Justin doing that with his bike stuff as well. Often he'll have really, really high key background. Like not blown out necessarily, just it's really appealing. It creates a nice contrast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off, mate. You're going to say something.
I was going to say, and there's like a little vignette around this one just to sort of pop them out a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I drop a little vignetting on my street shots. I like it. What's next?
Evidently more black and whites, but this was a little ceremony spot. But we turned the arbor to get the, so that the sun was behind it because it was sort of during the ceremony.
Yep.
Just to try and get some interesting light. And then I just shot that there was, I don't know what sort of tree, bush, plant thing, but a bit of something in the foreground.
Yeah.
Sort of fairly, it was in the sun, so it was fairly blown out, but just to add a bit of.
It's good. Foreground. I love it. It adds some real depth to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And a little mystery.
Hmm.
And again, the way that the highlights on the edges of the tree, of each tree branch, the way that they just sort of, they bleed into the sky. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Very cool. Oh, here we go again with that.
Yeah. A bit more.
Yep.
Of the same spot. There's probably like a fair bit of light coming into the camera, like these were. It's probably in black and white, it's probably less noticeable, but in color you can definitely see that they needed a little contrast and everything added to.
Yep. And so some of these ratios are different. Like this is a wider aspect ratio, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that how you deliver to clients or do you deliver consistent size?
No, so we'll crop sometimes square, sometimes like I think that's 16x9 or it might be what is that? Well, 16x9. Sometimes I do like a 16x10, sort of still just crops a little bit off the top and bottom. Just depends on the image. If it's not sort of not required, then it'll often go.
Yeah.
Same spot, just like a little bit lower to the left.
And, yeah.
But yeah, there's.
Look at that foreground bokeh. I've never seen it in the foreground like that.
Oh, really?
Around the blue leg, around this leg here.
Yeah.
Hang on, you can't see it, mate. No one can see it. Around here. See the beautiful little bokeh balls. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see it off this and you can see a tiny bit across the arm, although that could be. Could that be the plant or is that the?
That's the plant still,
yeah. But you can see here, you've completely obliterated it into tiny little soaps, little bubbles, perfect little bubbles. That's great.
Thanks. This was just, this is something just funny. They had a magician after the ceremony to sort of entertain them and their guests.
Yeah.
And he was actually really good. He did some like crazy card tricks and it was very hard to work out how he did it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I was just in there for a bit of fun. But this is sort of golden hour sunset.
Yeah. That's lovely.
The light was pretty cool by now.
Yeah, look how soft that glow is in the background, the way it just sort of dissipates.
So, yeah, these are sort of shot what's that? That was at 2.2. So
yep,
probably on the 50, 1.2. So
yep,
definitely could have showed it more wide open, but like the background just would have been even, would have gone even more. So
yeah, it would have just, yeah, it would have been hard to work out. There's just enough context there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. Like even the sort of the ground, the grass behind them is kind of like, you see the main image, it is gone. Like it's,
yeah. But if you just integrate, if you went to 1.2, that dam in the background, that would just look like a weird highlight. Whereas now it actually has some context because it's got some contrast around the rim of the dam and you can see the fence line.
Yeah.
It probably would have had the same effect, maybe. Who knows?
Mm.
Look at that gorgeous light.
Yeah.
And just cool. What is the technical term for this? Is this ghosting where you see these tiny little reflections on the element? I don't know if it's ghosting or if it's something else.
Sometimes, like, you'd get rid of them. Sometimes you don't. It probably just depends how distracting they are.
I think
for these, yeah, it's sort of, it's not in a bad place.
Yeah, it's not like it's covering an essential element of the photo. And in this one, it's far enough away from them that it doesn't draw your eye to it or anything. Like, they are definitely where you look first.
Yeah.
Same with this one. And then you notice that there's just this beautiful light falling on them, and then the ghosting or the flares on the lens really elevate it. I think it's a really lovely effect.
Yeah, that's the 28, and then this one's actually the 20mm. So,
yeah, it's awesome.
A little bit wider than, sort of don't normally shoot 20 until sort of sunset or dance floor. So,
yeah. Well, also often when you're doing weddings, I don't know about how you guys find this, but I would imagine sometimes you don't have the luxury of that much non-distracting space either.
No,
like exactly. You know, if you were in a garden, well, there'd be a bin over here, and there'd be a chicken over, you know, there'd be something, you know.
Even the dam, if it's in the, like, one of the other shots, it's not in here, but that one of the guys' heads was like in the dam, and I was like, oh, it's a nice shot of them, but it's the dam was a little distracting being in their heads.
Yeah, yep. Oh, that's awesome.
Go.
I was just going to say, just tell us about this image. Tell us about the lighting you used.
So normally, like, I'd normally only use one front light, but the sun was still up and it was kind of, the sky was looking pretty cool. So I thought maybe rather than using a backlight, I'll just use the sun as a tiny little, you can see that there's just a kind of whisper of golden sort of backlight on them.
Yeah. Yeah. On their hair.
Yeah. Sort of highlights on their heads. And I use sort of two front lights. Normally would just light for the bride, give her the best light, and then kind of hope for the best for the groom. But this time I just sort of had one light either side. That's where you can sort of see two shadows behind them. And yeah, it's just something, I guess, a little bit different to how I'd normally do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's stopped down a bit more and fairly low ISO. And this is back to one light now. So you can sort of see the difference in the shadows.
Yeah. Yep. And so the light's coming from our left. Yeah, yes. You can see you've still got this kind of slight edging of light, which is lovely.
Oh, then they've got, there's a backlight on them now.
Oh, there is now. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Not just the sun.
No, not just the sun.
So where's your backlight placed? Is it out? Is it like directly behind them, out of view on a light stand? Yeah. Or is it?
Yes, it's behind the groom in the blue suit. So.
Yep. Yeah, that's very cool. Oh,
this little silhouette. So that was, is it the same? That's the same, exactly the same settings as the previous photo, just with no lights.
Yeah,
just turn the lights off.
Look at that sky.
Mm. Yeah.
That was doing you some favors that day, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And probably could have even shot wider, but it just would have made them smaller, I guess, so.
Yeah, and maybe then the sun star wouldn't have been as dramatic or as obvious.
Yeah, exactly.
If you'd gone too wide, it would have just been a much smaller dot and it would have felt maybe a little odd.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last one.
Yep.
So has this been delivered to the client yet, or are you still working through them?
I'm still working through the rest of the images. They've seen all of these. So
this is your, what do you call it, a sneak peek?
A sneak peek, yeah. So normally you turn that around. a few days after the wedding, they'll get this. Yep. And they sent them through about 30 images from the day.
Yep. And how many do you think you'll deliver as a final package to them?
This wedding will probably be about 500.
Yep.
400 or 500. It was a shorter wedding. I was only there for 4 hours. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's culled down to about 550, but I'll probably get rid of something out of that. I don't know if it'll be 10 or 50.
Yeah. Okay. So. Very cool. Very cool.
What have you got to show, Greg? You got any shots from?
I do. Let me just get rid of
the new
one.
Camera.
I do have some shots from the new camera. Let me share my screen. Where'd it go? Oh, it's over here now. Still getting used to the two screen setup.
Yeah.
Camera live images. So I don't know if these are going to be big enough. Let's add to stage. I can zoom a bit.
Oh, nice camera strap.
It is a nice camera strap. This is the feature image on my no, not the feature image. Sorry, this is the image I used. Whenever I do a review for ShotKit, I have to take a photo of me using the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I take all my own product shots, which Justin and I went through some of them on Friday night.
Yeah.
For those of you watching along, in case you missed that and weren't aware of it, Justin and I jumped on a quick podcast on Friday night to talk about the GFX 100 RF because it had just dropped the night before. I'd had it for 2 weeks under embargo, so I got to test it, take it out, play with it, and write a full review of it. So whenever I do a review, I'm asked to do a photo of me holding the camera, and I always do one with a lucky strap on it. I'm a bit cheeky. but yeah, this is the GFX.
We do talk about ShotKit a bit.
We do, yeah. I think it's one of the first reviews I ever wrote for ShotKit years ago was for Lucky Straps. It was for the Lucky Strap straps. And Justin sent me, or maybe it was you, I don't know who it was, but someone from Lucky Strap sent me it had like two straps and a t-shirt and a bunch of stickers. And I thought it was the best thing ever because it was like the first review I'd done where I'd actually been sent something to review. Like that stage, all I'd done is review my own gear, which is often the way writers start on ShotKit. So yeah, that was, it's really weird the way it's come full circle that, you know, I'm back working with ShotKit again and I'm still putting ShotKit products in my reviews. Yeah. So, yeah, I love it. So this is the camera. Go back and check out our Friday night podcast because you'll see me getting quite angry about things that I don't normally get angry. I'm usually a fairly cool person. There's another product shot. So I do all my own product shots when I do articles. Often I get sent a Dropbox full of what the brand wants us to use, but I prefer to just do my own shots. I love doing product shots of camera gear.
Do you find that it's more authentic to the story that shooting your own photos?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because often I'll put ones in there where the cat's walked into frame and is licking the camera or, you know, and the product shot's still great. It's just a bit funny now because there's a cat, you know, attacking it or whatever. But yeah, I think it's more authentic because it's how I'm seeing the camera. It's not how the brand wants me to see it.
Mm-hmm. And it's still how it is the camera. There's nothing removed or changed. No. It's just real.
But it's just real. It's just I've done it. And I think it adds to that experience that I got to test this camera, that I got to explore every angle of it to be able to have a little bit of, I guess, maybe authority when it comes to writing the review that I actually have. It's not like I've just been sent a spec sheet and make up a fake review, but, you know, thinking that I've actually touched it. So I prefer to go this way, but for some reason my images are around the wrong way. So these are all shot with the GFX 100. This was zoomed right in using the crop, not the focus lever, what's it called? The tally lever, the tally converter lever. And what it does is it crops the frame to act like a zoom. There's four settings, 35, 45, 63, and 80, I think. They're all medium format sizes.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit smaller. But this is one of my kids just trying to shoot a portrait. Just to at f4 because it is only an f4 lens. That's as wide as the aperture goes. Just to try and see what I could achieve with foreground background elements. And obviously the background, it's not like what we're seeing with gym shots where, you know, the background is dissolving into, you know, into softness. And I'm sure you could get, I mean, with the right lighting, you'd get bokeh with this lens at F4. There's no reason why you can't.
But and the right compression, like subject to background.
And the distance between you and the camera and the background and the person in the back, all of that stuff. But this was just mucking around, trying to get some shots for the review. A little bit of street photography, obviously, because that's what I do. This is in Paran. This was the nightclub that got firebombed a couple of months ago. We live in such a lovely area.
Is it called Viper Room?
I don't know. I think they're advertising another one.
I love the I love how everything is kind of like it's just all the graffiti and like just disheveled building. But that sign is kind of so perfect and it's centered. Well, it's fairly centered, sorry. Yeah,
that was all intentional. Thanks, Jim, pointing that out.
Yeah,
but I did like this. I had it in color, and then I went black and white because of what she was wearing.
Yeah,
You know, she's wearing almost Ray-Bans. She's wearing a tiger suit and a black handbag. How cool is this old lady? Like, and this isn't the first time I've photographed her. I've seen her on Chapel Street before, and I don't chase people. They just walk into frame. I find the light, then I find the context, so the background, and then I just wait for people to walk into it. And I've shot this spot a few times because with the building gone and completely destroyed and bulldozed out, we now get these buildings on each side that are like over 100 years old. So we're getting all this beautiful brickwork and even old street sign, like old shop signage on some of them.
They've just been hidden.
Yeah, they just had a wall built up against them and they disappear and then they knock a wall down. All of a sudden, you've got all this history exposed. But yeah, so that was that one. This was just a little study in mostly in color.
Yeah.
This is Fujifilm. Yeah, it was a really
good dynamic range.
Yeah, it's got a great dynamic range. It's, I mean, you know, it's. There's so much to play with the data, you know. And I remember when I tested the GFX 100 S Mark II, which is basically the same camera, same processor and sensor. That camera has IBIS, but I was shooting in near dark rooms. Like just the first night I got it, I took it out and the room was dark because the kids were watching telly and the cats were on the kitchen bench. And I was just taking photos of the cats almost in the dark. And then later just pulling out so much detail and light from the image data, from the raw data, to create workable images. Even with high noise, like it's gorgeous to work with. You've got so much flexibility with the files if you love to edit. I found it a really impressive camera to work with, mostly for not for its specs so much. Obviously, it was a lot of delight and joy to be found later.
By using the camera.
Editing these images. Let's see what I can do with them. And I love the Fujifilm colors, but just the joy of walking around with a point and shoot. It's my vibe. It's what I love to do. But this thing was just next level. I mean, it's slightly bigger than a Q3, I think. It's almost slightly bigger, but it's only like 750 grams. And the lens really doesn't protrude much if you just go without the lens hood. And it's a really nice, discreet little, I shouldn't say little because it's huge, but it's a really nice, nice camera.
For what it is.
Yeah, it's not without limitations, but it's not a portrait camera. And it's not an architect's camera, and it's not, you know, there's a GFX and a lens for those jobs.
Yeah.
This is an everyday carry camera. That's all it is. It's the GFX equivalent of an X70 and an X100.
Yeah.
That's all they've done.
And how much is it?
About 9,000.
Oh, yeah. So perfect kind of point and shoot.
Oh, it's just level. You know, but if you're going away, just drop this on your budget.
And stay home.
Yeah. Although I do like what Justin, just eat cornflakes for the rest of your life. I do like what Justin was saying. You know, maybe don't spend the even with the Leica, don't spend the near 10 grand on a camera.
Yeah. Just
spend
just
four and travel with the other six, you know, like go and explore the world and just go with an X100, which is what, $3,500 now, you know, for the latest one. It's 40 megapixels. It's got IBIS. It's quick. It's beautiful. It's got Fuji colors, all that stuff.
Yeah. It's definitely, or, you know, something else you might already have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if you've just already got,
one camera, one lens, and spend the money on the trip.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I like your thinking. That's my style. One camera, one lens. Make the most of what you got. These are just JPEGs off the RAW, so the detail's not there, to be honest. But I thought that, you know, the level of detail is getting out of the images. This is a terrible example because you really can't tell with this file. It's been compressed. But yeah, amazing amount of what did I do? Where did I go, Jim?
You're down like four, I think.
Tomatoes. This was one shot with a bit of a darker.
Yeah.
And I just loved all of these. You know, it was like lines, something like even though they're lights, they become like with, and it's like something from like an animation where there's, you know, stuff going everywhere.
Like when they're moving through the frame,
Yeah, and then there's just this guy wandering through the shadows, and he just walked into the light. I was just standing there waiting for him to walk into the light, and and he did so perfectly.
And he just even looking to the left of frame. He's doing it well.
Yeah, and I don't shoot burst, so the focus performance on this camera is very quick. It's not a Z9 or an R3, or no, maybe the 5D Mark II. Sorry, the R5 Mark II. It's not. Definitely not quick like that. It's still a GFX. It's still a medium format. It's got a big chunk of sensor to get the light onto, but it is a leaf shutter. It is pretty quick. So, yeah. What else have I got? Just some more fruit and veg from the market.
Yeah.
Again, it's these photos don't really do it justice, guys. So
how much detail is there? Yeah.
Yeah. And I generally take this photo every camera I test. So that I've got a bit of a standard, you know, because that's always going to be there. It's always there. And it's just at the corner of Chapel and Commercial and Malvern Road. Yep. And, yeah, I love this building. It's home for me. It's always been in my sort of view because it's quite tall for the last, you know, 30-plus years. And it just it reminds me of home. So I love photographing this building in different light. Cool. This is just a bit of architecture, walking past a park that, and it was quite bright and it was the middle of the day. It was like 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Sun was pretty high, as you can tell, it's kind of just out of frame at the top left.
Yeah.
And, I just like
see on under the lines knows how
high yeah, the sun you can, is from the shadow. Yeah. So it is up pretty high, but I like the drama that that caused. Or the level of drama. It's not as dramatic as if it was golden hour and the other side would be black and, you know, it's there's enough light there. But, who says you can't shoot sport with the GFX? Look, he's even airborne. Look, it's off the...
I like that shadow coming in from the right.
This one. Kind yeah, there's point, a
black... Yeah, pointing into the sort of skateboarder.
Yeah. There's a black and white where it's a much wider frame. So I've cropped this in. That's just across the road from me, around just on the other corner. So it's a great spot to go just to get some test out speed of something. And there he is again.
Nice.
Editor Seb took that photo. I think he did a good job.
He's done well.
Yeah, he's done well.
Justin said, I just realized I forgot to change the background. I thought Greg did that.
No, I didn't. I don't have
sort of some sort of Fuji tactic.
No, that's a good point. It would have been me, wouldn't it? That's very true.
Because I didn't say anything. And I thought, Greg mustn't have Justin's fancy background that changes.
Yeah. No. I've never done that. Tonight was the first time I've ever hit the go live button without Justin.
We didn't have any music. Sorry,
no music. Guys. Sorry, folks. So that's the end of our images. So, Jim's, yours were all shot on a Z8?
Nikon Z8, yeah.
Nikon Z8?
Yeah, with a variety.
How big's the megapixel sensor on that?
Are they like 45? is it? Or just under 46, I think.
Okay. And the GFX is 102.
Yeah.
But it does beg the question, like how many pixels, how many megapixels are too many megapixels? Is there such a thing?
If there was something like 25 to 30, I reckon would be good for just about spot. And then have it like insanely fast camera.
So like an R1.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think that this strive to higher megapixels, putting aside the medium format, because that is what it is, it's a separate beast.
Yeah.
But like where all the full frame cameras are going, they're already hitting 40, 50s. The Q3 goes up to 60. Do you think that will be like a race between the brands to see who can push their sensor tech higher in terms of the pixel count?
I feel like it has been, but you know, like the Z8 sensor is the same count as the D850 sensor. Like they didn't push and go for 60 like the is the Sony the A1 or is that 60 or something? A1.
Yeah,
it's or 50. The There's one of them too. that's up there. And I just feel like at some point there is too much. Justin and I often sort of talk about we used to love shooting with the D750s, which were 24 megapixels.
Yeah.
But the body was not the sensor was great, just the body was a low-level prosumer body, so it didn't have a fast enough shutter speed and it had a tiny buffer and it was hampered in that way. And we always kind of said if it had a bit more of everything else, it would be great. But and that's kind of where the D850 was good, but maybe it was too big, the files.
Same as that's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, I remember talking to you guys before I upgraded my Mac. So I used to run a 2017 iMac.
Mm-hmm.
And I did pretty well. I got it to 8 years.
Yeah.
Doing editing and everything. And I remember when I got, I think it was when I got the 100S Mark II, the GFX, with its 102 megapixel files, my iMac just struggled so much.
Yeah.
Granted, it was an older computer, but you know, if you are going up in pixel size, then you've got to be prepared to deal with the data, whether it be sharing them, having enough bandwidth to even just share them online, storage, whether you're using physical or cloud. If you're using physical, it's going to be quick, but you want to make backups. If you're using cloud, it's going to be very slow.
But it's also just how many hard drives, and if you're running multiple backups, and that does get consuming.
And one thing when I did the review for the 100RF, one thing I said is that be warned though, if you're going to go for this camera, you're going to need to upgrade your computer if you don't have something current, because it will struggle. It's processing a lot of data. I mean, Lightroom's can be a slug anyway when it's something when it has a lot of work to do. But you drop 102 or you drop a catalog of 102 megapixel files on it, and you will watch it struggle. You will question if it's going to make it. I guess for me, I mean, megapixels, like, don't get me wrong, I love shooting with the GFX. I loved having that amount of data that I could crop. And, and I think one thing that I found really fascinating, and this is just a novelty side of things that would wear off within a week, was even on the camera screen, because the resolution wasn't too bad on the back, zooming in and pinching and just keep zooming and keep zooming. Yeah. And all of a sudden there's a person in the background that on any other camera would just be a little blur. And all of a sudden they've got all this rich detail and you can tell their expression and it's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily work for every photo. Like sometimes you want that nice blur in the background.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's it. Maybe with how I shoot often, not wide open, but barely... low apertures. Like I shoot a lot of the day at 2.2 to 2.8. Am I wasting sort of data by not using?
Oh, never thought of
not
that
wasting
way.
Data, but like as in
no, I know what you mean. Yeah,
I'm just looking for blurry sort of bokeh backgrounds, and do I need 48 megapixel, 45 megapixel camera?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know, but I guess for a professional like yourself. The sad reality is that if you step down, apart from going to like someone like an R1, but if you were to step back in terms of your resolution of your sensor, chances are it's going to be worse with low light.
Yeah.
it's going to be worse with noise. You know, it's going to be, it creates its own raft of perceived problems, doesn't it?
Definitely.
It is interesting though, because, you know, the amount of megapixel, it's starting to fade. It's now more about focus performance in pro bodies, but it, you know, for a while there, it was all about sensor size and how many pixels we can squeeze in and what sort of pixels they are and how we, you know, backside eliminated that. Like it was all sensor stuff, and that's still important, but I think there's also more focus from brands on other neat features. Computational performance is a big one right now, like AI stuff as well. You know, they're all going for these. They're all trademarking these big fancy AI related words that don't really mean anything, but they sound good in a promo.
Yeah.
You know, there was the one when the R3 or the R1 came out, it was had this deep neural networking, deep learning something. And Justin and I were having a little giggle over how ridiculous it sounded.
Yeah.
It just felt like someone in the marketing department got their way. You know,
they're just trying to sell. They're just trying to sell stuff.
They are just trying to sell stuff, and who can blame them?
No,
when there's people like us there ready to drop thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and speaking of selling stuff, Lucky Camera Straps, we're selling stuff. And if you want a discount, use code Jim. Don't use code Greg or code Justin.
No, that's not fair. I'll just mute you. He's muted everybody. So the code is Greg. G-R-E-G, to get a discount. This will go towards my annual bonus. I didn't get one last year because Jim hogged all the cash, but you're back, mate. I'll let you in.
Okay.
I
could hear you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, you can vote with your thumbs.
Vote with your wallet.
Yeah.
If you want a better quality strap, then use the code Greg. Even though Jim is packing them.
Yeah.
Posting them. but yeah, you can get a discount. But head on over to luckystraps.com. Have a look at the straps there. Obviously, we love them. We love what we do with Lucky Straps. How long have you been working with Justin with the strap side of things?
Just over 12 months, I think. But
yeah.
I've been, I think I was Justin's first prototype photographer that he, for the first, like when he first got the straps done. Yeah. So like I've been, yeah, using them since they were prototypes.
Yeah.
Cause back then I knew Justin a little bit and he said, do you want to test this camera strap I've made? And I said, sure. I love free stuff. And yeah, we sort of started from there.
That's come full circle. Yeah. Like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, I've been using it for a very long time, which was back in the early days. I was a news photographer, but a journalist. So I was using my camera a lot, and then I was shooting weddings on weekends in the end with Justin. So often I'd be shooting sort of 6 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was obviously photojournalist, pretty hard on the gear.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And what were you shooting with back then?
Nikon D3, D3S, D4. So yeah, sort of full frame pro body with, you know, like heavy 2.8 lenses and
they don't make them like that anymore.
No, they were good. They were fun. I'll probably get one again one day just to feel how fun, and then probably not like it because they're not as good as I remember.
Use it as a doorstop.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Jim? Do you think we've covered everything we can with the time we were allocated tonight?
Yeah. What's happening Thursday? We've got the normal Camera Life podcast on. We do Thursday have a normal morning. Life.
And we're joined by Dan Paris. Now, Dan he's in WA. He's going to get up nice and early for us. He's a jack of all trades.
Okay.
Dan was an actor. His folio includes working on Neighbours years ago. Actor. Mm-hmm. Sorry, he was an actor on Neighbours. Dan's also created a bunch of short films, mostly tourism related stuff for his local area of Esperance and Perth in Western Australia. He shoots landscapes. He shoots portraiture. Really interesting character. So we're gonna Catch up with Dan Paris next week. This week on Thursday, I should say. That's Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And, we'll have a chat to him and find out how his career took so many interesting, unique turns.
I just thought I'd bring up one comment from
this
one before about the BFOP tickets. I've just looked it up and it does look like they're out of stock.
Yeah.
I guess if that changes, we'll find out. We'll let everyone know.
Matt Crummins, who's one of the leads of BFOP along with Nick. Mm-hmm. Matt, I think, is joining us in about a week or two. Okay. On a Monday night show, just to talk about some stuff. We've been meaning to catch up with Matt, but he's been flat out. He's been traveling to Africa because he does tours. He's also a commercial photographer. He's also running BFOP. He's also he was the person that got the GFX after me. I sent it from here to his place. Yeah. So he was the next cab off the rank to test out the GFX a couple of days before the embargo lifted. So yeah, he's a busy man. So we're going to get him on. We'll pester him about tickets. It might be worth just contacting them, because if they have someone drop out, it might be nice to be on a list. Who was that?
Bruce has just said they did sell it ages ago, but they do have a wait list. So you can join the wait list in the same bit you can buy a ticket. Doesn't cost anything. Looks like you can add it to your cart.
Philip said the same thing.
And I think I saw as well, if you want to transfer tickets, it's maybe like a small fee. So.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass for them, the way they've set it up.
Yeah.
Everything's linked to your email address. So, and Philip has said the same thing. They do have a wait list. So maybe, Ben, just jump on the wait list. Justin and I don't have tickets, neither does Jim. We are going to BFOP. We don't know in what capacity just yet, which is part of the reason why we're getting Matt on, so we can pin him down and say, can we come to BFOP?
Yeah.
But we'll be there as lucky straps. Not necessarily as workshop participants, but we'll be around the traps shooting some behind-the-scenes stuff. Yeah, we'll be around.
Yeah,
hitting the food truck.
Maybe we can bring some camera straps.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to see if we can bring the embossing machine. Maybe we can do some embossing while we're up there.
Yeah, I reckon we should just back the van up to the BFOP HQ.
We'll just bring the desk, the embossing machine.
Some big speakers. We'll just draw a crowd.
Yeah. What do you could be a DJ.
No, I'm not going to DJ. Yeah. My kids already hate my taste in music. People don't need to hear that. That'll be here before you know it. What's that? That's normally in October. I mean, it's already end of March.
10 to 12.
But we will be there in some capacity, so fear not, Team Lucky Straps.
Yeah, if you don't have tickets, just come and hang out with us.
Yeah, we're just going to hang out at the food van, although Justin was at the bar a lot last year.
Yeah.
Often I had to go and throw a bucket of cold water on him. But, you know, he behaved himself mostly.
Yeah.
It'd be good. But look, I think on that note, we might wrap up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
We don't have any outro music either. No intro, no outro. Right. Sorry.
No, and I'm not going to beatbox for you because no one needs to hear that.
I would like that.
Are you going to? I thought you were going to say, I would like to beatbox, like as in you would like to beatbox.
I'd like to hear you beatbox.
No one wants to hear that. No, really, because I have no idea what I'm doing. But look, on that note, thanks for joining, Jim. I know that you've had a busy day, and I appreciate it. And great for Justin to jump on. And for those of you watching and listening along, thanks to our chat, everyone who's made comments. And don't forget to use Greg as code for Lucky Strap discount. This has been the Camera Life Podcast, the random photography show where we just, as you've just seen, we clearly come very prepared. And we just dive right in to talk about it. But we'll see you on Thursday.
We'll be here.
Cheers to Paul. Cheers, thanks, guys. Paul. Great images. Oh, thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Have a great couple of days, mate. And I'll see you on Thursday. You too.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Guys. See you later.
Be good. Bye.